quite a while.
You ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Madigan?
She's excused.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Taggart?
Here.
And Supervisor Perez?
All right, so next on to item B, approval of summary proceedings for the January 18, 2017 regular meeting. And I understand there were some corrections in here. Liz, you know, where are you? Do you want to go ahead and let us know about the correction on the minutes for Friends?
Yes, ma'am. Do I have to walk up there?
Probably you should hit the mic, yeah.
Yeah, I suppose.
She's loud enough with the hair.
On the summary of my name is Liz Keogh, K-E-O-G-H, proud resident of the Supervisorial District. On the summary of proceedings under Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters update for January, and I'm pretty sure Amber, who is absolutely meticulous about recording what was said, did exactly what was said. It says that Judy Downell has resigned from the board of the Friends, but the fact is she resigned as president. However, she remains on the board, the last I understood from folks. So if we can include that.
Can we amend?
No, that's not a correction, but you can include it on this month's minutes.
Okay.
That's
all
what
right.
I kind of thought.
Okay, perfect.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
For clarification, Jerry, under public presentation, do you want me to do that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Perfect. Any other notations, corrections? So then, do I have a motion?
I make a motion to accept the
file. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right. On to the next thing. Item C, consent agenda. These agenda items before the Animal Services Commission may be acted upon with one motion if no member of the commission or audience wishes to comment or ask questions. First, if I can ask the commissioners, are any of these items something that you want to take off, or shall we receive a comment? Okay, three or four.
Well, the cat one isn't here.
Okay, all right, so.
That was my fault. I apologize.
No worries.
We're fired.
Too late.
Okay. All right. So then we're going to, do I have a motion to go ahead and remove A, B, and D?
I make that motion.
Oh, do I have a second? And then as far as item C, do we want to table that until next month?
I'd say yes, since we don't have it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
Do I have a motion for that?
A motion to save C.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right. Okay.
I'm sure Amber knows.
I got it.
You got it?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. All right. So we want to discuss these now or move them to new business? Okay. So let's start with item A. An email received by Stacey Pence.
Do you want to see this?
No. No, I didn't. I went through all of it.
Here.
I've read it already.
And this is Nick's.
Yes.
Okay.
All righty. All right. Do I need to read this out loud to everybody?
No.
Yes.
Okay.
With or without the.
I was just going to say, hang on for a second. Was it included on the table over there?
No.
Okay, then you need to read it out loud with.
But I have to be careful.
Yes, the language, you need to be careful.
Okay.
You can just use the
initials. Okay. I'm very upset with your operation of your fruit bale shelter. They are not only rude and retarded, but they have said saving one pet at a time should be more like taking lives, 2 to 3 at a time. I got the punctuation. It was terrible. My dogs were good dogs, and your systems have a poor judgment. I was able to only rescue one of my 3 because the other 2 didn't make it even to the gallery of, I must be adoptable, pets. Understand you are overwhelmed with the amount of animals coming in, but how do you consider yourself animal livers, I'm assuming that's lovers, and rescuers if that's not at all what you really do? Compassionate, I will never recommend to anyone to bring your pet there and it being a good idea because you're murderers. It's disgusting how you guys don't give up. I honestly feel sitting outside your business and picketing, I want to put you on blast of your ignorance. The one dog I rescued from your death grips is in very poor condition. She is weak and sketchy now, like you guys abused her. And your staff is heartless and rude, and very lucky I didn't sock them in their lying, blank mouths. So there it is.
I was hoping somebody could clarify what happened. Anybody knows?
There's a response.
Yeah.
There.
No.
Yeah. The long and the short, I can summarize for you.
That
the long
awesome.
And the short of it is they took in 3 dogs. One was adopted out. One had kennel cough and did not respond.
Jerry, those of us in the back cannot hear you.
Excuse me.
Use the mic to talk sure. louder.
Thank you.
I'm afraid that's about as loud as it gets anymore. There were 3 dogs impounded.
They were owner surrendered.
Yeah, they were owner
surrendered. They were owner surrendered. One dog was taken in with kennel cough and did not respond to treatment and was euthanized. All 3 dogs were held far beyond the minimum. And now I got sidetracked. One was adopted out. Mm-hmm. She took one home, and one had to be put down.
No, 2. 2 were put down.
2 were put down?
Yes.
2 of the 3.
2 of
yes.
the 3.
She exactly, and then she adopted the one.
Yeah. Oh, she took the one back. No, I didn't understand.
She had somebody else adopt it.
But the long and the short of it is the hold times were followed. We actually put a couple of extensions on it because she couldn't have come up with the money to retrieve them, and it's just a sad situation.
It is.
Do you know the time that they kept it? You said far beyond.
Do you have Nick's?
I can answer that.
They were turned in on December 31st. 2 of the 3 were removed to adoptable kennels. 3rd came down with kennel cough and was put in isolation on treatments for antibiotics. One was placed for adoption on January 25th.
Wow.
One was maintained in the adoptable area from 1-5 through 1-12, put down on the 12th due to no adoption interest. 3rd was treated with a course of antibiotics, 2-18, but was still symptomatic, and a 2nd course of treatment was prescribed. Staff made a determination to release the animal for euthanasia at that point. Okay, so.
It's amazing that somebody has owner surrender and then they're complaining about how you do things. I don't really get it.
Well, it looks like you gave her multiple opportunities
yeah.
to come and recover her animals and advised her of what it feeds for her. So, based on this, animal control, operated in the manner in which they're supposed to. Any other comments?
Next.
Any discussion from the audience?
Sue.
Yeah, Sue has her hand up.
Oh, yes, Sue.
Maybe I'll walk in right back.
The only question I have is, what response did you send to her in reply, or did you?
Let's see. Nick did. Okay, you talked to her on 1-3. advised her that he would hold the animals while she got the money. He told her what the fees were as of that date and what it would be for each additional day. The poll was released on 1-7. She had not come with the fees. He again talked to her on the 7th. She said she needed more time to pay. She was advised they could only hold them through the 9th and that she would need to speak with Lisa for further holds. And she advised that she understood. Then there was no response from her on the 10th and released the whole. Still sat on them. Okay, so that's that.
Right. Right. Question?
Yes. If you can come on.
It's Liz.
Liz?
Yeah. I can hear me.
Just like float the mic around.
So oh, I'll walk it around.
Oh,
I'll walk you. I'm gonna use you.
Oh,
sorry.
Madam Chair, I think Sue's question was whether this email was responded to by the commission, since I guess it was addressed to the commission.
Well, the commission hasn't responded to it since this is our first meeting. It was dated on the 26th of February.
Well, then the question is, do you plan to?
It's up to you. What's been our policy in the past?
I don't know that we have a complete policy. It's generally been at the discretion of the board.
Right.
Or the commission, excuse me.
Yeah.
Couldn't we just be repeating what Nick already told her?
Up to you guys. Do we need to reinforce it?
I don't think so.
She's already been told. You're telling her.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So.
Vote on that. Jeremy, yes. Do I have a motion that we now respond?
I make a motion
to
respond.
Okay.
Do I have a second?
All in
favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Okay. Without a response, how would you like close this?
Ultimately, the animal control director has already dealt with the issue. So it would be repetitive for us to, all we would be doing is reiterating what he has already told her.
It's not like he didn't respond to us.
Yeah. Okay, item B, email received from Grimshaw. How many dogs allowed in exclusive ag zoning? Okay. All right, so let's see here.
Back here.
Yes?
Speak into your microphone, we can barely hear you.
Okay, well, I'm muttering right now, so I will. Okay, item B is an email received January 30th and 26th from Larry and Wade Grimshaw regarding how many dogs are allowed in an A, exclusive agricultural zoning. Let's see here. So if we start with the bottom, that's 130. Let's see here. I have looked in and have not found how allowed numbers of dogs in Kern County Title VII animals. The only item I have found as far as allowed number of dogs is in Title 19 zoning and basically states and allows up to 3 dogs in E, quarter, R1, R2, R3, parcels less than 10,890 square feet. These are all residential zonings. My question is, how many dogs, ranch dogs, am I allowed in an A, exclusive agricultural zoning? I'm a rancher and use my dogs as ranch dogs and stock protection. I could please use some clarification on this matter. P.S. I may need to use and maintain 6 to 9 dogs at a time for all of our ranching activities. Using only 3 working ranch dogs every day is not very humane. And then on the 6th, he just sent a quick note. I sent this previously to Kern County Animal Services Commission and received to be their standard reply without any answers to my questions. So now I will forward it to your department in hopes of a legitimate reply. And it was sent to ACC again. Okay. So let's see.
Can anybody find anyone here be able to tell us?
Okay. Yeah, I know what the outcome is.
Yes. Okay, received two emails, so you've done those questions. Or answered via email. Okay, he just, Nick just says that was answered via email.
What was the answer? Like?
So Nicholas Cole, the director, responded to this email and told him that three dog limit is for residential areas with less than a quarter of an acre, and that there wasn't really any limit on the number of dogs that he could have. He was just required to make sure that they were back. All of them were vaccinated and licensed.
That's right.
Good answer.
That's the answer.
Thank you.
So if Nick's already advised him of that, then do we need to...
You're holding, right? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the thing. Okay, so then do we need to...
Did he email or did he verbally just...
He said he responded via email.
Okay, that's what happened.
Right. So, okay, so that was answered, asked and answered. And we need to make a motion that it's already been responded to. Mm-hmm. We need not...
Sure, yes.
No, you can wait and do a receive and file on A, B, and D at the end.
Okay, perfect. All right, so then last item is item D. Carly Morris. Let's see here. This was sent on 226, subject Kim Bennett. Commissioners, I have reached my breaking point with this situation. After the next board meeting, I would like to schedule some time after to talk to each of you. What you all have allowed to continue with regard to Kim Bennett is nothing short of horrible and disgraceful. Is there no accountability in Kern County? Ms. Madigan, after our conversation, I have shown great restraint in speaking out against Kern County, but facts are facts. We are now at a minimum of 7 dead dogs that we can confirm with the most recent death being this weekend.
Yeah,
I got
that one.
Did Nick send you a written response? Because if not, I can talk. But
let's see here. Per Nick's notes, they received a correspondence from Carly Morris. Ms. Morris has been a complainant against Kimberly Bennett out in Ridgecrest. She states in her email that she intends to speak with each of us after the meeting about animal services. Response also states that 7 dogs have been killed on property, including one dog just days before she sent the correspondence. They've received no complaints, animal control, animal services, through dispatch of that nature. Was sent an email with some hearsay accusations in late February that they did take the time to look into. There was no evidence of any deceased animals. The owner states that no animals were killed or injured, and the head count was identical to the one that animal services had taken at the end of January on a quarantine release. As Nick has said before, and it remains true, Ms. Bennett is not a good animal owner, but we have seen no evidence as of yet that gives us any legal right to take her animals away from her. When we do see that, we will act as we have done many, many times before.
Okay.
That's Nick's response.
Is that party in the audience that want to speak to us after the meeting?
Kim Bennett?
No.
Carly Morris.
Carly, are you here? No?
No.
Okay.
All right.
Because if you want to talk to us after the meeting, talk to us during the meeting. That's really the way to do this.
Okay. All righty. So that's all the items. So if I could have a motion to receive the file, that's A, B, and D.
I'll make the motion.
Do I have a second?
One second.
All in favor? Any opposed? All right. On to item D, public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later meeting. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers will be allowed 2 minutes to speak. And if I could just remind everybody, if you've got phones, please turn them down or off so that you're not disturbing anybody that wants to talk. Okay, we've got a few people here. We'll start over here. Anybody have a comment or a public presentation? Nope. Okay. First row?
No.
Nada? Okay. Second row? Third? Fourth? Terry? Okay.
Hi, Terry Contagi. Just want to let you know that the Humane Society of the United States, who came last fall sometime and said, Curtin County, we're targeting you, they had a meeting last night, and several of us attended. We just smiled and just let them talk, and we learned all kinds of exciting things. They're going after Kevin McCarthy, by the way, and we found out that a lot of us are on their animal abusers list, simply because we, I don't know, maybe our NRA members or something. How they put that together, I haven't figured out yet. But there were a lot of different threats that were made, and they're trying to get a, well, they call it grassroots, but it's really fomenting people to do things like do mass phone calls and to track down Congressman McCarthy and harass him at different places, which I think we've probably seen some videos of people that that's been done to. And so his office has been notified. We just had a meeting, actually, with him today. So he was very glad to find out about this stuff, and they are on guard for that. But we are watching it, and this is, I think things are going very well right now in this county, and the last thing we need is, honestly, a bunch of rabble-rousers that just want to get more money going to the Cayman Islands, and then, yeah, and cause problems. So we will be watching. I just want to let you know that.
Thank you.
It's okay, Sue.
So you can stay there.
I'll go.
Thank you. For the first time in about 8 months, I can actually walk up and say, my name is Sue Bennett, and I'm with Curtin Humane Society. Better living through chemistry, as they say, found what's wrong with me, and we're taking care of it. Since I haven't been here since November, I kind of pull up a little bit. In December, Curtin Humane Society holds its once a year meeting where the board members pay for lunch for all of our volunteers because we don't take money out of our organization. And we met at Hodel's, and I gave them a one-year talk. In order to do that, I had been missing some, so I thought, okay, I will show people what we have paid for in the last 6 months. Every one of these pieces of paper is an animal that we helped in the last 6 months. Some medicals, spay neuters, whatever. We've helped that many animals, which means we've helped that many people. And my thing is, if we help an animal, we make people's lives better. And so that's what Curtin Humane does. That's what we are. Anybody needs anything really esoteric, come by the thrift shop.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you for everything you guys do.
Okay.
All right. Next row.
Thanks, Sue.
Danny's got anything? Okay, so we've got Danny's row, and then we've got the last row. Nothing? All right, then that ends public presentations. Thank you. All right, on to item E, staff announcements. And that would be Lake's duties today.
Okay, and with your approval, I'd like to do the director's monthly report and then the state leader, and then turn the time over to Jeff George for the volunteer update. I'm too old to be getting up again. Okay. So, the director's report, for those of you that don't have one, looks like this. There may be some more over on the table over there if you don't have one. Our rescue program rescued 219 animals during February. They went to other communities where they could find homes, where There's, for those of you who are students here, there's, Kern County has a major abundance of animals, and other counties don't have an abundance of animals. In fact, they have some of these counties have empty shelters. So they love us to send our abundance to them. And we have volunteers that transport the animals for us. 501c3 nonprofit rescues will take care of this. We save a lot of animal lives with their help. We also have a foster program. So the foster program is for little tiny babies, little kittens, and little puppies that are too young to be away from their mothers. And before we had a foster program, these animals were euthanized because we couldn't take care of them. So having a foster family, we have a lot of foster families for the foster program, and they take these little tiny babies and they feed them. Sometimes some of these people get up every 2 hours and feed these little babies in the beginning. And we're able to save, we have 79 animals going to foster care, and 98% of the animals that go into foster care under our foster care program are adopted into loving homes. So this is a great program, and there's a lot of new people here, so I thought I'd give it a plug. I'm not afraid to do shameless plugs. Okay. So TNR, that stands for Trap, Neuter, Return. And in the old days, what we used to do if somebody brought a feral cat in is we took it and euthanized it. And we found that there's a whole bunch of reasons why that's just wrong. And it's not even good for the community, and so messes up the ecosystem of the communities by doing this. And so what we do instead is if someone brings a feral cat, we fix it, and then we take it back to its community. And we have a lot of cat trappers who will trap the cats and they bring them to us, or they take them directly to Critters Without Litters. And we did 75 cats in February, and since we started in 2013, we've done 5,073 feral cats that we've taken back. Yes?
What do you mean by back to their community?
So feral cats, they have a little community. So you'll see, if you're driving down the street, there'll be, you see 8 to 10 cats there. They're just hanging out together. That's the community. One of the problems with these communities is they can reproduce prolifically, okay? And, there's statistics out there, and I'm not sure how accurate, but one female over a 6-year period can be responsible for thousands and thousands and thousands of births. And
one cat having thousands.
Yeah. Wow. One cat having thousands.
We're teasing you, Blake.
Anyway.
He's having an SPCA.
This is why they call me the BDA. Okay. So, anyway, one cat who gives birth, female cat, can produce thousands of offspring. Thousands and thousands of offspring. Is that okay? Is that okay in the back?
No, that works.
It's a pyramid.
It's a pyramid.
Plus
its
offspring and produce more offspring. It's not one cat producing thousands.
Offspring.
One cat can be responsible for... It looks like this. Okay, so that's why we have a TNR program. We don't kill them anymore. We fix them, and we return them back to their home, and they let them, and they keep the rats down, and they keep the mice down, and they keep the squirrels down, and they're a benefit to the community, and then they die their natural death and without reproducing, geometrically. For all you students, I take this kind of abuse every month. Okay. So, on February 28th, we did a World Spay Day. And what we did last year was we issued spay neuter vouchers. And This year what we did is we decided, because we now have our very own surgery suite and a surgery coach, that we could have three veterinarians doing spay neuter surgeries all day. And we were able to pull off 96 surgeries. We've never done this before. This is a daily thing for Critters Without Litters, but this was a new thing for us and we're excited. So we also issued another 109 vouchers that can be redeemed at veterinarians around town for spay neuter surgeries. And so we considered a very successful day and an awesome learning experience for us. And so we also do off-site vaccination clinics in the parks around the county. And we did one on February 4th in Rexland Acres. And it was very successful, and so we like to keep doing these things. We also do a license and vaccination clinic every Wednesday night at the shelter on Fruitvale from 5 to 6:30. And as you can see from the four dates that we held them in February, the first of the month is always bigger for some odd reason, but we have big ones the first of the month, and the rest of the time we have it's pretty steady, as you can see. So, but you know, if you're a county resident and if you have an animal, you can get a rabies shot for $10, a DHPP for $10, and then you know, pay for your required license. We also microchip, and we charge $15 for a microchip. If you have a cat, then we do the cat vaccinations too, and those are $10. So if you can let people know about that. So adoptions. I'm excited about adoptions. So we did 337 animals in February. We were able to adopt 337 animals. We track by fiscal year that goes from July 1st to June 30th. And our 15-16 fiscal year, the number of adoptions doubled over the prior year. We're on track to maintain our good, solid adoption record, and we're doing quite well with that. And we also have a partnership with Petco. If you go into a Petco store, and there'll be cats there. Those are shelter cats. They're not cats that came from breeders in the community or whatever. They take them from our shelter. We spay and neuter them for you, and you go there and you can take them home from there. And we adopted 7 cats from Petco. One of the reasons why that's so low is because this is kind of a tough season for cats. For the number of cats, the people that go to Petco usually want a kitten. There's not a lot of kittens available right now, but next month there'll be more than enough. You'll just have just go down there if you want a kitten. There'll be more than we can deal with. I'm going to skip the volunteer and let Jeff George take care of that. The field services page, that's the calls per area by the area that they are. You can see where most of the calls are. The majority of them are in what we call the Northeast and the Northwest. So, a very strong majority of these are in 93306, 93308, and 93307 zip codes. That's where probably 60% of our intakes come from. So 20 dogs were returned to their owners in the field. So that means if you've microchipped your dog or if you've licensed your dog and it gets out and an officer finds it, they have a microchip scanner in their truck and they can scan the animal, they can find where it goes, and they can take it back to your house. And if you've been gone the whole time that it's been out, you will probably never know that your dog had escaped. Our goal is not to take animals into the shelter and get money from you for doing it. We want to get them back to you as soon as possible. Then there's 74 dogs were secured on property. That's the same type of thing. So, we go by, your dog's running around the front yard, maybe it's running off the property and bugging people, we can see your back gate is open, we'll just put it in the yard for you. Okay. So, you know, we get the kennel comparison statistics. You can look at that. I'm not going to cover it. I'm sure.
Mike, I think EJ had a question.
Yes?
I'd just like to ask you, you say when you return them like this, you find one that's out and return it, you don't let them know if they're not home?
If they're not home, we may not let them know. We just put them away.
Don't you think it would be a wonderful idea to have some kind of a little note or something that you could let them know that?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
Show the people what a service
should. And I think a lot of the officers, I think a lot of the officers need a business card. I put your dog away for you.
That's great. That's what we should be doing.
I believe that I was trying to make a phone call too, to let them know. We'll try 1021 phone call.
Perfect. It gives you a positive instead of a negative.
Right. Okay. So, the next couple of pages are our kennel statistics for the...
We don't have...
Yeah, they did not get that. That was my fault.
We're going to wait and do that next meeting.
Yeah, that was my fault, Blake.
Sorry.
So, see, I'm not the only one that makes mistakes in system.
I also take this abuse every month.
I know. That's why you make the big bucks, right? She volunteers this, so... And we appreciate it. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the spay-neuter report. It looks like this. It says spay-neuter, $200,000. If you don't have one, there should be a few more over there on the table. The County Board of Supervisors gave the Animal Services Department $200,000 this fiscal year to do spay-neuter. For the last 3 years, we've been doing that. We've been able to spay and neuter about 12,000 animals on this program, and it's mostly what we've done is we do our trap neuter return, we do our World Spay Day, and this was new, and we have low income vouchers. So the low income voucher program is you can go to any county animal shelter, as well as Taft City Hall, and let's see, if you live in Fraser Park, there's a place up there. We've got a place in Button Willow where we will issue you up for $20 if you are low income. You will be able to get a voucher that you can take to a veterinarian that's on the list and get it fixed for that for the cost of $20. And so. As of this point in the year, we've done 923 TNRs, and we've done 652 low-income vouchers for a total of $56,401. And we did, and I'm counting the 96 surgeries that we did on World Spay Day. The outlying area surgeries, we are working with Marley's Mutts on that, and they have gone to, and we just recently started with them on January 28th. They were able to fix 36 animals in Mojave. February 4th, they did 42 in Arvin. On February the 16th, February 23rd, they did 28 in Arvin, and on back to Mojave on the 24th for another 23 animals in Mojave. We have kind of a unique challenge in that we have so many outlying areas that are so underserved with veterinary services. There isn't a veterinarian in Mojave. There's one in Cal City. There's one in Rosamond. Sometimes they'll take our vouchers. Sometimes they don't. So we've been working with Marley's Mutts because they go out, they take their volunteers out, and they go door to door, and they get the surgeries. They contract with a mobile spay-neuter unit that drives out there. They bring them over to the parking lot. We fix them. They fix them and send them home. And this is we're going to send them to Taft. I think they're going back to Eastern Kern again, and I think they're going to Lake Isabella. And those are the places where we're so severely underserved. Any questions? Yes, Sue.
Just real quick. Our discount coupon, Blake has agreed to accept our discount coupon for that $20. That's a required copay. Uh-huh. And so for the students who are here, Kern Humane's voucher makes it a free cost, a low cost, whatever, however you want to say it. But it becomes a free
thing. Right.
Okay.
So, Kurt, if you're a student and you're starving and you just don't have any money, you can't even come up with the $20. Go see Sue at Kern Humane. She'll give you a free voucher that's good for the $20. Then bring it to us and we'll take it for the $20 and we'll give you the voucher.
There you go.
Okay. That's how it works. And most people can come up with $20, but there are people out there that just can't. And we understand that. Okay. Anything else?
Before Jeff comes up, I would like to say one thing since we do have students here. As you can see, Animal Services has got a tremendous amount of programs that are here to help the citizens of this community and the animals of this community. And last May, Blake stood there and said that we were on the road to being a no-kill within 5 years. And so that is our ultimate goal, and that's where these services really help to make us work towards achieving that goal to be a no-kill facility. Yes?
Is there like a repository of all these services?
Well, we have the website.
We have our website, and it's co.kern.ca.us/animalservices. We have a Facebook page. You can like us. And we have Instagram, too, so you can send us memes, and we'll send you memes.
I don't even know what that is.
Well, I don't either. I have people that are millennials that know how to do this. So, it isn't me. Yeah. I look at my millennials and I go, okay, yeah, I know what we're supposed to do. This, go do it. And then they do it. They're awesome. But just so you know, just a brief history. 4 years ago, we were partnered with the city of Bakersfield. We euthanized 75 to 80% of every animal that came through the door. And then there was the well-publicized split between the city and the county, and they have their shelter and we have ours. And we began moving this direction. And the County Board of Supervisors gave us the spay-neuter funding. To become a no-kill shelter, that means that the only animals that we will never again euthanize an adoptable animal. When the only animals that will get euthanized are the ones that are too sick or too aggressive, that they will eat your children. Okay? Those are the only animals when we get there. We went from euthanizing 75% or so of every animal that came through. Now we're saving 75% to 80% of all of the animals that come in. So we made a major turnaround, and we've got this big elephant that we're eating in front of us. And sadly, I don't know if you've heard the term, the way, how does a lion eat the elephant? One leg at a time. And we've eaten one leg. We've got a big job ahead of us. And we love community support. We love creative ideas. Anything that people can do to help us along this road, we even take donations. We love donations. Yeah, I'm shameless. Okay, I know. I'll own that. I'm shameless. So, if there's, we're going to get there. And we're a passionate group of people about this. So, anything else?
Commissioner.
I can't do my normal numbers crunching this month, but I did want to allude to the off-site vaccination clinic page.
Yes.
And maybe I didn't notice the detail, but I don't know how many people you have there for an hour and a half. That's a lot of work, like 72 rabies shots in an hour and a half. How many people do you have? How many people do you have, Lisa, that's on duty during that time?
I would say we probably have, between the officers and everybody, probably 15 to 20.
15 to 20 people?
Yeah, running that clinic on Wednesday nights.
And these numbers are phenomenal.
Yeah, we've had very strong response.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's excellent. I just wanted to comment that I don't know, either it wasn't on here or I didn't notice the detail. I don't know which it was, but the amount of detail here on what you do each Wednesday is pretty phenomenal. So I just want to commend everybody for this work. The bottom line is no kill, like Chairman said. That's where we're good. And all these pieces of the puzzle help us get in that direction. But That was my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And just so you know how fiscally prudent we are, on the days that we do, where we do the 75 rabies and the 67 licenses, okay, I have a few people there at the beginning. And we start the clinic with the same number of people, not knowing what it's going to be. But on the days when it's 40, people who are on overtime go home. Okay, we're not wasting county taxpayer money unnecessarily. Just so everybody knows, so we're very fiscally prudent here. Okay.
Did somebody have a question? Did you have a question?
I got an answer.
You got it? Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Blake.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Blake.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good evening, Jeff George, volunteer coordinator. So another month has passed. We keep on growing. The core volunteer program, the green shirts, we had one orientation in February on the 25th. We were able to bring on 12 new volunteers. That put us at 165 core volunteers. That also includes 24 people that are considered on like a leave of absence. They've gone off to college to come back during the summer. We have a handful that are, you know, they're out sick for some reason or another. So I do keep them on the roster just so that they are able to come back if they want to come back. So. For the month of February, $1,355 were collected by the Corps volunteers. Equals out to about 8.2 staff members and a value savings to the county of $31,000, almost $32,000. For all of the programs, which includes work release, EPP, MEOF, something new for me, court-ordered service through the Volunteer Center, and also our one-day volunteers, we had a total of 2,792 hours.
Wow.
Donated.
Nice.
Jeff, tell the students and everybody here what that alphabet soup.
Oh, work release. These are people that are signed by the courts to come and work for us. They are trading their jail time to work at the county shelter. EPP is Welfare to Work. MBOF is Mexican American Opportunities Foundation. The court-ordered volunteer center, basically if someone has a misdemeanor or some charge against them, they get assigned to the volunteer center. They have to pay a fine to the volunteer center, and then they get to pick a place to go, and that's where they a lot of times will pick us. And then one-day volunteers are usually just people that come off the street and say, hey, I want to help out for a couple hours, and we put them on board and they're going doing something. And let me go back to the total number again. So it's 2,792 hours for the whole month, 16.1 equivalent to staff, and a total of $65,000 in savings to the county. Now, in regards to the one-day volunteers in the month of February, even though I came on board really close to when they came out in 2014, Ridgeview High School came out, their photography club. This year they brought 27 students, and they each did about 5 hours of service between pictures and other service, so that provided us 135 hours of work in one day, which is awesome. We also, a couple of things that we started going in January and in February, we have 6 students that are working directly with our veterinarian staff. And so we have 2 from the ROC program, the Regional Occupation Program, through the Animal Care Program. They're high school students. We have 3 students from BC, and then we have 1 that's doing online study for veterinary assistant. And they provided 272 hours of service in the month of February, just in veterinary care. So they were helping in some capacity with the surgeries, with spayed aid, you know, whatever was going on with the medical staff, helping with treatments, all that. We also started a program in late January with CSUB. We have 7 students that are taking a psychology course. It's called Animal Behavior and Science, and Sciences, I believe it is. And they come out a couple hours a week, and they're part of their curriculum is to go to the animal shelter and provide 15 hours of service. And they have to write some sort of a term paper at the end of their course to explain what they did and how animals affect human behavior and psychology. So we've been working with 7 of those students here this year. I was approached last August by the instructor at CSUB to start this. We couldn't do this last fall, but we started this spring. It's kind of a neat little program. These students come in and we treat them just like regular volunteers. They come in, they learn different things, and we get a cool green shirt and do some things with us. So, shameless plug, this is for everybody, members of public, students, anybody. April 29th is the end of National Volunteer Week, which we have coined National Volunteer Day. And so we'll be doing all kinds of different things on that day. We'll have displays, mini orientations, mini tours of the facility, and we'd love to have everybody come out and join us from 10 to 2 on April 29th. Wait, that's it for me, unless you have questions. Oh, yes, sir.
For the one-day volunteers, you just walk in and say, hey, I want to help?
Pretty much. Basically you have a form to sign. For those who are under the age of 18, I need a parent signature, but for yourself, I'm assuming you're over 18, you just come on in, we'll have you fill out a one-day volunteer form, so a single page, and we give you something to do.
Is there an age minimum?
16 is the minimum age for any volunteer.
Jeff?
Yes.
You might want to mention that the monthly volunteer newsletter called Walk Prints is available at the table with all the other stuff on it in case anybody would like to pick up and see the kind of information that you provide to the volunteers each month.
Oh, yes, another shameless plug. Started a newsletter about 2 years ago. It is on the table. It's called Paw Prints. It's a lot of information, some training ideas, a lot of reports regarding volunteering, things that we do. We usually highlight a volunteer to kind of talk about their service and why they came to the shelter. And this year, I grew it to 6 pages, so it's been rather small. It's great. It just kind of grows. So it's up there. There's a couple of sheets up. Again, it's called Paw Prints.
I have a question concerning the one-day volunteers.
Yes.
Do you end up converting a lot of them into the volunteer program?
Not a whole lot.
Okay.
Usually a lot of the one-day volunteers, they are high school students that are going, oh my gosh, I need 2 more hours before I can graduate.
Community service. Got it.
So I say, come on in. I got some linen or dishes you can do.
Excellent.
I've got an excellent observation. I want the students in particular to realize on the volunteer page where it says 2,800 total hours, that's in a month. Normally, until Jeff George was hired, you see about 400 hours per month is really what the average was.
Yeah.
Which is a huge, gigantic leap from where we were then to 2,800 hours. So one of the best things that Director Scholl ever did was to hire this man, and he's really been innovative in the way he's attacked trying to help this problem. Volunteering with any organization is the backbone of the organization, and so when you go from 4 or 6 volunteers or whatever it was back, say 5 years ago, to 165. That's a huge shot in the arm. So I want to thank you for all your work, your innovation, your marketing skills. We've still got a long ways to go. I did want to ask you about Pet Detective. There's no legend there. We just still have Pet Detective, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yes, there is.
Can you give us any... They don't know what Pet Detective is. Give us a quickie on Pet Detective and the man what he does.
The Pet Detective program, which, another shameless plug, we have a Facebook page for Pet Detective. basically, we have 4 volunteers that come into the shelter throughout the week, and they take pictures of some of the dogs that were brought in as lost or strays. And they take pictures of them, put them on Facebook to alert people to pass on this information, hoping we can return those dogs to their original owners. And I believe the last time I actually looked at a report closely, we had about 170 dogs that were put on Facebook, and something like 27 or 28 of them were returned. It doesn't seem like a big return rate, but it's a dramatic jump. Comparable to what we used to do. I mean, it was not something that was really kind of focused on. Now it is something that's focused on. And John Hare, who leads this small group, is always looking for people who want to do some pictures. So.
Well, we don't have any.
51 numbers. Hours in February.
How many?
51.
It's 50. That little white line there.
Oh, 51. I didn't know who it was. Okay. Well, you know, we don't have the, what is the category called when you reunite the owners with the...
Return to owner?
Yeah, return to owner. I mean, that's always one of the greatest things that can happen when you reunite a family member with his family. So, Pet Detective Guy, I mean, earns extra kudos for me to be able to do that. So, I think it's a great thing. Thanks, Sharon.
It's good.
Thank you. Judy,
I just wanted to make a comment on what Jeff said, especially for the students. Next time he asks the California Federation of Dog Clubs to come and do a breed ID workshop, they might be interested.
Shameless plug.
Yet another shameless plug.
We're full of shameless plugs
yes.
tonight.
We're full of
plugs. Thanks, Jeff. I had a conversation with Lisa Richardson yesterday. I was in a Petco store. And I called her up, and she called me back like in about 3 minutes. So,
hey,
did you have a quick question? If you wouldn't mind coming up to the podium,
yes.
We're going to drill down a little bit deeper on good news.
Commissioner Blackburn,
yes, ma'am.
Is this connected with the volunteer update, or is this commissioner presentations?
Well. Okay, wait a minute.
Okay,
that's cool. Right.
Thank you.
So then do I have
to the agenda.
Motion to receive and file?
No, we don't have the data.
Okay. So
I make a motion that we receive, that we show this until next month to have the data.
And review data.
And review it then.
Okay.
Continue it.
Continue.
Motion to continue.
Can I make a clarification? Do you want next month, would you like February's information, or you just want to go forward with March's? Because next
February,
month...
February, and we want March.
You want both. Okay.
We want both.
Okay.
Madam Chairman, can I suggest the wording for the motion?
Yes, please.
Motion to receive and file the volunteer update and the spayed of funds update. Motion to continue the director's monthly report to April.
And do I have a second?
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right.
Okay.
Now, on to item F. Commissioner reports. Where should we start?
I'm saving mine for your...
Okay. Committee?
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Blackburn.
Okay, so this is where I... Okay. Anyway, I was talking to Lisa Richardson yesterday about Petco, and she has some really good news, and I wanted everyone to hear it in a little bit more detail. So if I could ask you to come up and kind of repeat our conversation yesterday. What prompted it was I'm spot-checking Petco from time to time because they're our partner in adoptions, and they've got this six-cubicle facility at the front of the store, and... I guess on Thursdays they bring over six cats typically, and then by a week or so they've placed them, and they really go out of their way though. They don't just place them. I mean they give discounts. They have there's cat carrier boxes. I'm not sure who pays for those. Maybe your department does. They do a lot of other things. They give discount packets. Even the ones placed I think at your facility
they'll give adoption packets.
Adoption packets.
Right?
So. Anyway, I called her up because I was over there on a Tuesday, and there wasn't any cats in the cubicle, and the assistant manager said, you know what, we need cats dropped off twice a week, not just once a week. So I called Lisa, and I'll let her explain what she said to me.
So Gary always keeps me on my toes. I'm Lisa Richardson, shelter supervisor at the Fruitvale location, and when Gary called me, I was happy to report that we don't have any cats to send to Petco at the time right now. For probably about the last 2 to 3 weeks, we haven't had any cats sitting around available to be adopted. People are lining up, waiting outside as we open to adopt any cats or kittens that we get. We have rescue organizations calling us, saying, please send me your cats. So I think in our cat room yesterday, we had 3 stray cats that were on their stray hold.
And it's not just kids, Blake, that you mentioned. It's cats.
full-grown adult
cats.
Mm-hmm. The only cats that we had recently were owner surrenders that were brought to us, and they were placed with a rescue organization. So,
how long has it been since you could have said that?
Never.
See, that's what I'm talking about.
So I've been in animal services for almost 7 years, and this is kind of unprecedented these last couple weeks. We are bracing for the kitten season. We are, and shameless plug, we have a kitten foster shower on Saturday from 10 to 2 at the Kirkville location. Come and save lives and see how you can sign up to be a foster parent for when we do get our kittens in so we can save more lives. But this is the first time, I would say, in the last couple months that we've had such a lull. Although the TNR program is still strong. We still run out of space on a weekly, daily basis on our TNR spots because we only have a limited number of spots for the TNRs are feral cats. So the adoptable cats are what we're having trouble keeping up with. It's a good problem to have.
It really is. I mean, when I got involved in animal services back in 2010... the numbers were euthanizing about 11,000 cats and 8,000 dogs. Now, when they're not in the cages, you're not euthanizing anybody. So this is a tremendous quantum leap in turning this whole thing around, which is what we've been trying to do for the last couple of years. So I wanted everybody to hear this in detail. They don't have them to send over to Petco, either the Petco store.
Right, either one. We have two Petco locations, which is the Gosford location and the Rosedale location, and both are currently out. So hopefully we'll be able, once those other cats come off their stray hold, because we do have a legal stray hold period that we have to hold animals for. Yeah. Once they're off that stray hold, we'll be able to send them over, but people are lining up to adopt them before we can even get them over there, which is wonderful. Wonderful problem to have.
Even though we're bracing for kitten season, it's much better to hit that season, you know, running when you have empty cages and you have people lined up than to have that season hit you when the cage is already full and nobody wants them. So we're in a better position than we've ever been ahead of kitten season. So congratulations to everybody down there.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you.
Any questions?
Okay. Thank you. Okay, Commissioner Tate. I got nothing. Okay, so then we're done.
Are we
done?
I do have one other thing. Going, of course, she said. Going back, we didn't address this one. In January, Chairman Anderson asked myself and Jeff George to talk about the Citizens Patrol for Animal Services, and we never got back to that, but Jeff kind of whispered in my ear something. I think maybe you should come up and maybe give us an official answer on that one, Jeff, or just yell from him. Just so we can see if we talked about it, because it is in the minutes.
We talked about it?
I'm sorry.
I said we talked about it.
Yeah. You gave me a quick comment on it. What was the deal?
Basically, when Commissioner Anderson gave me the paper, I was sitting next to Jerry, and she mentioned that there might be some legality issues regarding that. Since then, I have been to that website that was listed.
Oh, cool.
It is defunct. I also called the phone number. It comes up to a fraternity for some college.
I'll have to give you, double check that thing, because I just talked to him before I come to the meeting. So
okay.
Maybe I give you the wrong information.
So I mean, I'll
get it for you.
But I have looked up other organizations that do similar things or similar citizens on patrol type of ideas.
Right.
And I have talked to the Kern County Sheriff's Department in the past about this.
Yeah, because they work with us on it.
Yeah, and so I mean, there's things out there that essentially can be done. It just depends on how we can work it into the program.
The
right. Yeah, we're willing to work on it. We just didn't have.
Okay.
The right number.
All right, and I'll further look into that.
I should.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. All right. So on to old business. Staff referrals. We have none. Emergency preparedness.
Okay. You guys can.
No.
Yeah, it was good. You just have to talk right into it. It sounded on. Yeah, you're
there
good.
There you go.
All right, have it closer. You hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. Actually, got some news to report. On February 3rd, Nick and his staff and three members from the Lariat Hatch P group got together to review the animal disaster draft plan, and we went through it line by line by line. We made it through half of it, and then we'll be meeting again next month to finish the other half, but it's almost there. So we also invited Naomi Flan, who is the CEO of It's Central California Animal Disaster Team, and she actually was, that group was invited in during the Erskine Fire to assist Kern County Animal Services. We started talking, and our Lariat group has decided to join forces. They call it CCAT, so I don't have to say CCADT every time. It's CCAT. But the Lariat group is going to join forces with them. We're going to be doing training up in Tehachapi in the near future, and we're going to be being under CCAT, which they are a 501c3, is that what it's?
Mm-hmm.
A nonprofit. They have liability insurance. It covers a lot of issues that we were trying to deal with. So basically everything is coming around with the Kern County Animal Services disaster plan and with the volunteering with the disaster plans throughout the county. We'll be putting out, I put out some flyers that CCAT has, and if anyone is interested, probably the next meeting, I'll be putting an email out and asking people who are interested in doing the training and volunteering with the group. So that's pretty much it, and I'm excited with the partnership. So
very excited.
Yeah.
Thank you for all your hard work on that.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions or comments? Okay. On to Friends. Do we have somebody from Friends to make a report this evening? Okay, on to new business. Let's see here. Yep, I would like to ask if we could table number one until the next meeting.
Okay.
I was stuck at the vet and didn't get back to get my paperwork. So do we need a motion for that?
Motion to continue.
All right.
I make a motion to continue H1 to next month.
Do you have a second?
I second.
All in favor? Any opposed? Thank you. Okay, and then on to item number two, which is a discussion regarding the frequency of future meetings. Per our ordinance, we only have to meet once a year. We've been meeting monthly for what seems like decades.
That's probably accurate.
And we're on a good path. We've got wonderful people that are solid and supportive and come every month as well. And so it was just suggested that we might want to consider a different amount of meetings to have throughout the year based on the positive direction that we're moving. So if I could have a little discussion about that. Thoughts?
I'm a little concerned about the losing the momentum.
Yeah.
I understand that, you know, we meet every month, but we are progressing. So that's my only concern, is losing the momentum and our followers. We want you all to keep coming.
I agree with that. I agree with the momentum part. Although I think we could probably, you know, do what we need to do on a bi-monthly type of deal. I would say do it in baby steps, whatever we're going to do. I mean, once a year, you're not going to do it. Once a quarter, you're not going to do it.
Right.
Maybe every other month, maybe. But I am concerned about that. Look how many people we've got in the audience here. We've got a lot of interest out there. So I don't know. I don't know what the right answer is. But whatever we do, let's take it slow.
Okay.
I agree. I think either a month or 5 months is for sure, because I think otherwise we kind of lose where we're at by the time we come around to the next meeting.
Okay. Do you have any input?
Our input is that we can do whatever you want. We'll do a monthly report, we'll do a bi-monthly report, we'll do a quarterly report, or we'll do an annual report, whatever you like.
Thank you.
Your thoughts.
You know, I understand the momentum issue, and I think that given how things are right now, maybe bi-monthly. We can always do a trial run, you know, try it for a little bit, see how it works. If it's not fitting real good and we need to go back, I'm good with that. Do we have any input from, yes, Danny?
Okay. I think that the great things that are happening with Kern County Animal Services, I think that this meeting every month is one of the reasons why. I think that you guys do something the city doesn't allow the public to do, which is to come here and speak with you one-on-one if they have an issue, whether it's good or bad, to be able to speak to the commission, to be able to speak to the people involved in the shelter, to get straightforward, honest, informative answers. I think to decrease the amount that's available to the public, I think that would be a mistake.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I think we should take another advisement and talk about it again next month.
Okay.
That's what I think we ought to do.
All right. Do we need a motion for that?
Make a motion that we listen to next month's agenda.
Motion to continue.
To the April meeting.
Second. All right. All in favor? Any opposed? All righty. So that leads us to our next item, which is adjournment. Our best part. Our best part, yes.
I make a motion to adjourn.
All right, can I have a second? Okay, so then all in favor? Any opposed? So we adjourn until the third Wednesday in April, which is April 19th.
Thank you.
Thank you all for coming.